Hey guys, I'm Brad.
I'm Lisa.
And welcome to Unrelenting Pursuit.
We just want to invite you guys into real, unedited conversations about real life topics that affect your marriage.
Yeah, guys, we are passionate about training and equipping marriages to succeed through God. Hey guys, so I'm starting today off instead of Lisa. So I'm going to read a review, and we love the reviews you guys give. So this review is titled Hope in Waiting. It says 3.5 weeks after revealing I had stepped out on my wife and daughter over the last few years, she sent me a link to a synopsis of Brad's story after reading it and realizing how almost copy paste my story was. Misplaced identity, chasing behavioral solutions. I began to dig into the podcast. My wife has sent me a few of their episodes, so I've jumped around a lot, but it's my hope we can reconcile regardless of which way she decides to move forward. It has reaffirmed my faith in Christ, knowing he's going to walk both of us through this, and I know he's going to use this through me to help others. Strongly encourage listening, having an open heart and mind. That's awesome.
Yeah. I love that so much. We always get to hear like these amazingly cool stories, and a lot of times we even get DMs of you guys following up with these reviews, which we love. If you have not written a review yet, we would just encourage you guys to take a few moments to do that. We really truly want more people to get a chance to have the hope of what can be in their marriage and hope in God. So drop a review and 5 stars. Give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
Right, babe? Please. Okay, thank you guys so much. So today is a topic that always scares me to talk about.
I know. I think we semi-avoid this.
You think so?
I think we do.
Really? Well, yeah. It was kind of interesting because we were kind of talking back and forth about potential topics this week, because if you've listened for any period of time, you guys know that we record and it's usually just kind of things that have been on our mind.
Yeah.
And we don't edit and all that good stuff. And so we are still sitting there this morning trying to figure out what are we going to talk about today? Yeah. And then I mentioned this to you just kind of out of the blue, and you're like, that's funny. That's the same kind of topic that I was thinking about. So we're going to dive in to sex.
Yes. That was weird. This is why we should probably talk about this more, because when Lisa feels a little like it might get awkward, she says weird things.
It's 100% true. Because
she told our doctor once that she might have put some poison in cookies.
Okay.
And then gave him the plate of cookies. And then we walked out.
I was like, tell that story without giving some kind of context. But yes, awkward silences and or if I'm worried that situations might become uncomfortable. It's like I'm sitting here thinking right away, I want to give the caveat that what we're going to be talking about, I don't want to bring shame or pain to people. And so you just have to like come along and listen to the entire thing, because our heart is always to just help people to improve areas of their life and in their marriage. Yeah. You have a confused face.
I do.
It's because sex, no matter what, can bring
good.
Oh.
No. Oh. I understand that it can bring things up, but I just said this on we got interviewed for an article. I don't know when it's coming out, but that was cool. And I had said that I felt convicted to stop apologizing specifically for giving advice. And it seemed kind of simple, but it was just advice pointing back to Jesus. And I kept always going like, I'm sorry, but this is, you know, what you should do. And I felt super convicted to stop doing that. So I stopped. I don't apologize for a simple answer of, well, you should turn your life back to God. Like,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But
let me finish. I also am getting more and more where I'm not being insensitive. I'm going to throw that out there.
There's extra pause at the end of that.
I'm not being insensitive. I'm not trying to negate anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I don't really, I mean, you're definitely the one that's like, let me throw this out there first before we start talking, where I'm like, hey, we're definitely not here to shame people, for sure. Right. Mm-hmm. But we are here to call people out. We are here to challenge people. And so I don't apologize for those things. And that might happen here, and it might happen to me, because it's happened to me a few times while we're recording, where I challenge myself, I call myself out, all these things. So I'm not going to apologize for that.
Okay. Me, on the other hand, I'm sorry.
I know.
Well, no, because I just know this is an area that can bring so much.
This reminds me so much, our close friends that we had on here, Rich and Suzanne from Desert Oak Barbecue, and they didn't talk. I don't think they talked about the story on here, but when he'd be like the bad cop and she was a good cop, right? So he'd come in and something was wrong, you know, at the business, and he's like, you know, do this, whatever he's doing, right? I don't know how he operates. I don't know why I'm saying that, but he's getting mad, like frustrated, yeah. Right? And then he's mad, and then he said he would tell Suzanne, and then Suzanne would show up with like a box of donuts for everyone to like smooth
that
everything
makes it all
over.
Better.
Yeah. 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 So I feel like this is where we're at. Yeah.
We work together well. To you challenge me not to be as much of a peacemaker all the time. And at the same time, I think I help you to kind of have more of an empathetic view of
you do
other people. So yeah. I think that works out really nice, but just in general, I wanted to talk about it in the fact that there are just so many obstacles in the way of this in a marriage, like obstacles to having good sex. And why are you looking confused?
I'm not.
Okay. I'm going to put this on social media so people can see what your face looks like when I say something like that, so that they know I'm not just being crazy. It's like when you call me out in the middle of whatever we're talking about. Yeah. Why are you looking at me that way?
Well, because you do that to me. So we're going to talk about obstacles to having better sex.
Yeah.
Better sex life in your marriage. Or how are we wording this? Like, is it sex life?
Yeah. Or obstacles to better sex in your marriage.
Better sex in your marriage. Yeah. I don't like the word sex life for some reason. The phrase.
Is it because it's just sex life, not sex, like, involved in marriage? Like that? Maybe. That wording?
Maybe.
Is that why you made the face?
There's just something I don't like about it.
Don't you guys love it how you can just roll with us as we go along? We're like 7 minutes in and we're just diving into the topic.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start us off, baby. What you got? What do you think are some obstacles when it comes to this? What are the things that hold us up in this area?
I've written some things down. I know.
What?
I'm growing. I've dropped my pen. I've written some things down, but before I don't really want to go over those just yet, because I feel like I'm plagiarizing, even though I'll give credit where it's due. But for me, so obstacles, what do I think the obstacles are?
What are obstacles?
I think the biggest one, I think the biggest obstacle is communication. Mm-hmm. And I have a hard time with that to this day.
Yeah.
Right. And I think another obstacle. So is communication.
Get more specific into communication.
Oh, okay. You want me to break it down?
Break it down, baby. All right. So like when you're talking about communication, do you think this is talking about your needs, wants, and desires? Do you think this is, so explain.
It's twofold.
Okay.
All right. So first and foremost, if your communication in general in your marriage, that's the biggest, like if that starts to go downhill or, you know, gets rocky, the first thing, and I've said it in plenty of episodes and different interviews I've been on and all those things. The first thing that gets separated once there's some issue is sex.
Yeah. I'd say it's one of the first indicators for sure that you get to see. It's like, okay, now we have a problem here too.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it an indicator though. I think it's a direct reflection of there's another issue. The first thing that goes is sex. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's strategic in the view of an enemy, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's how close, you can't get any closer to someone right, than that. And so, well, I mean, yes, I know on a spiritual level or like, I get that. But I'm like physically and spiritually, this connects you spiritually too. So I just think that's one of the biggest things the enemy wants to break off. So anytime there's some kind of issue, the first thing I think that goes is, I would say, is sex, right? Yeah. There's probably someone out there who's like, well, no, it's not. The first thing that goes is, you know, something else. And so that's first, right? But twofold, and that's where I said I still have an issue with this, is communicating in a healthy marriage already, communicating about sex, mm-hmm. right? And this is why I will be like, I don't know, I don't think, bluntly honest, I'll just be
honest.
As I say it, I'm like, why would I add in extra?
An extra honest
thing. I'm going to be extra honest as opposed to semi. You're either pregnant or you're not. So I'm going to be honest. This is where I struggle with this because sex is such a weird place in the sense of, like, my communication to you is going to be things I like. Mm-hmm. And maybe things I like to, I mean, I'm just going to say it, things I like to do to you. I know. Mom, you can shut it off now.
Things I like. Caveat to the parents that might be listening.
Yeah. Things I like to do to you, but also things I like to, you know, receive.
Yeah.
Right. And that's healthy to talk about those things,
right?
But it also feels selfish to talk mm-hmm. about those things. So it's a weird dynamic, right? And you know, that's why it's weird for me, right? And I know there's probably, like, maybe there's someone out there like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the majority of what it is, because I think that's why it's awkward mm-hmm. to talk about things sexual. Mm-hmm. Sexual things, you know, with you. To me, that's why it's awkward. Like, it's easy, like, oh, you know, like, you're beautiful, you're, you know, that, like, I love this, I love that. That's, to me, those are easy things. But when it gets into, like, you know, I can't think of an example right
now. Please do not give an example.
Let's not go over examples.
Let's not be bluntly honest here, okay?
That's what I was.
No, but I think what you're trying to get to the place of is, we don't want sex to be selfish, right? No. Like, ultimately, you don't want to have your sex life or view your spouse as selfish in there, in the sex life. And a lot of times those things are stemming from things like pornography and masturbation and all those things that really help focus on self, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where you're trying to be almost overly careful, is to be the opposite of those things.
Because I know, like, you encourage me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have encouraged you or not, but I do encourage you. Like, I want you to come tell
right
me.
Right here on this podcast, yes, I encourage you.
I want you to come tell me, you know, things, right? Like, I want that because I think it's important. Like, I want to, like, make you feel great. I want to, like, enjoy you. Like, I want to do things for you, right? And so I want to know. You know, like, like, if I make you dinner, I'm not going to make you dinner. I want to know what you want. Right?
This analogy.
Well, I want to know what you want for dinner. Okay, so I'm going to make that.
Yeah, and I think that, like, this can be a big area, because a lot of times, because it is so vulnerable. And I think that's the reality, is that vulnerability is scary. And the beautiful part of intimacy is that you want vulnerability to really be the beautiful thing that it's supposed to be, which is, I can entrust my desires, my wants, my fears, my insecurities really in your hands, and you still see the best in me. And I think a lot of times that's even what hinders us in true intimacy, is the insecurities that we have, the pain that we have, all that kind of stuff. Yep. But I think it is important, like, that idea of, just like, I want to know the same thing for you. And so when you know, and you're in a healthy enough place that you know that your spouse is not coming from selfish ambition, then when you're having those conversations about, you know, what you like or the things you might want to try or any of those things, you can come from that purity of heart, which says, like, I just really want to experience these things with you. And not because I've seen these in a toxic way elsewhere, not because I'm pursuing something else elsewhere, not because my mind is in a bad place, but because I genuinely want connection with you, mm-hmm. and you are the safe space that we can yeah. have that with. And that's how God designed it to be, which I love.
No, and I think that that's important where it's, I'm not thinking of selfish.
Yeah, you're not like, this is exactly, and I need you to do this. Da, 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 da. That's yeah. never why you communicate with me.
No.
And that's an important caveat to have where it's like.
It's not why I communicate with you, but I think on both sides, like, correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just me sure, in this yes. relationship, but I think on both sides, like, you crave something, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think that that's healthy.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's amazing. Right.
Right. And so God designed it's like, it. It's
like I'm craving thing. This, you know, and it, but it's not a forceful thing.
Yeah.
But it's also something that's
and
like
never meant to make somebody uncomfortable.
No, absolutely not. And so I think that that's super important. So for me, the first big obstacle is definitely communication. And it's that twofold communication.
Yeah.
Right. And, because I think that, you know, if you don't have the first one, clearly your intimacy level drops on all aspects. And then that's, you don't probably more than likely the woman, the, you know, the wife doesn't want to do that.
Right.
Have sex in, you know, well, have sex in marriage, but have sex general, right. With their yeah. husband, because there's no other intimacy level where, right. where I'll kind of get in this now, even though I don't think it's an obstacle. Well, it could be an obstacle, but where men are kind of wired different, where it's almost like an on-off switch. But saying that, now me, I'm not an on-off switch. Mm-hmm. I don't think I am anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I think I want, like, more. Okay, we don't have this on video, but I'm, like, gesturing my hands. I want, like, more, you know, like, lead up, more...
You want to be seduced, baby?
Yeah. Right? Like,
but do you think it's because you also know, like, that the results of an on and off switch and the results of
okay, yeah, like, yeah, true yeah. intimacy. I mean, if you guys haven't listened to episode 80, right? That's an unhealthy on and off switch.
Yeah,
that's really what that was, right? Where I've never talked about what I'm about to say, and nor have I ever really thought about it till right now. But I knew what sex was, and I knew the importance behind it in a marriage, and, you know, those things that I grew up with, right? Like, I knew these things, but it was more of an enjoyment on and off switch than it was the real purpose
right.
behind sex, which I don't know if I can define that right now, but it's more of like that real purpose is well, one, clearly procreation, right? But also that purpose is for a man and a husband and wife to enjoy themselves on a level that isn't meant for anyone else. Mm-hmm. And this closeness and laughing and feeling and all those things together, that's not meant for anyone else. And that is intertwining, not just physically, but like on that spiritual level. This God designed it, mm-hmm. right? So it's meant to like go deeper than just physical. But when I viewed it more of that, and it, I don't know, age I think has a lot to do with this too, but when I view it more of that like on and off switch where it's like, oh no, I could be mad, but then we're gonna do, you know, like, yep, mm-hmm. turn it on, like, here we go. I didn't view it at the level that I should have always viewed it at. And so then it turned into like, well, I'm just going to meet my needs. Mm. And then that became like, I could turn it off and turn it on, turn right. it off and turn it on. And then by that simplistic of a route to take to just have sex, then you're to me, again, I'm speaking like just from me, then I think you're taking out all the other things behind it, where now it's just merely a thing, mm-hmm. where it's not just merely a thing, but now it's just merely a thing where it's right. like, and then you take,
it loses its value.
Then you take not consciousness out of it. You take, not consciousness, cause that's, you can be unconscious, not consciousness.
Like the spirituality.
What am I trying to say? Like, you take the, Like, I'm not, I don't feel bad.
Oh, yeah.
What am I, conscientiousness? No.
No, conscience.
Conscience, not consciousness, conscience. You take the conscience out of it, and then you end up like I was, where I was just, like, I hate saying that, but I was just, like, going around, right? Doing these things and just feeding my flesh and doing whatever I wanted, you know? And that's the on and off switch, where it was like, I didn't have to feel any way. It was just like, no, I want to do this. Switch on. Right. And then I didn't feel remorse. I didn't feel anything. Right. And this is in the middle of it. Clearly now, you know, and when God stepped in and with my whole testimony, clearly all that changed. But, and I don't think at the very beginning I was ever like that. It was just,
you dulled that so long.
Yeah. But it was also just something that it was like, oh, we're married now. We get to do this thing and it's awesome. But I never looked at it as a different level than just like, we're married. Like, this is what we get to do. Right. You know, I didn't never dove into like the better, the deeper levels and what it truly
represents.
Right. Versus just like, you know, surface level knowledge. Right. And so now fast forward, I'm not saying on and off switches are bad, because I do think that that has an age thing to do with it, right? Libido and hormone levels and, you know, like get into the scientific side of it, even though my hormone levels are really good right now.
Okay.
Side note. but no, I have a hard time with like an on and off switch moment, right? Because if you're in a healthy marriage, like years ago, I could say that now about our episodes. Years ago, we had Fierce Marriage, Ryan from Fierce Marriage on, and he equated like two different types of sex, like specific sex within a marriage, right? There's like the Ferrari, like jump in, hit the gas, like 0-60,
boom,
quick, done, you know, move on. And that's good. Right? That's a connection. These are all connections. So none of it's bad, right? It's good. And then there's the, like, you know, I don't remember, he said like station wagon, like packing up for a road trip, kind of, you know, longer, you know, more chill, whatever it is, not more chill, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to say it. Anyway, so I don't know how to explain it any more than that. But for me, I'm like, I can't just go like, okay, let's do this right now. Not anymore. I want like, and I think it is that there's like some anxiety behind it, which that is an obstacle. Because I'm like, I want you to feel good. And so I'm like, oh no, is this, you know, am I going to be good? Is this going to, you know, all these things in my head where when there's like this slow lead up, I don't have this, I don't know. What do you say? Like performance anxiety, maybe?
Yeah.
You know, where it's more of like, no, we're just enjoying ourselves. Like, I don't have to worry about anything. I am just enjoying, like, being with you and taking
and that
pressure off.
A lot of sense, even for women. You know, a lot of times what hinders is what I would say the biggest obstacle that came to my mind was your mind and memory. And, you know, obviously trauma can be intertwined with that. But I think even what you're talking about with the mind, even for a woman, when there's all these things that she feels like need to be done in the day, when she, you know, that shutting the brain off side of things does have a really big impact on your enjoyment of being able to just be with your spouse, just to enjoy your husband, you know. And it's so important for both of you. And this is where that communication piece does come in, where if a husband and a wife understand the nuances of the obstacles, right? Like the obstacles are this, then when you can see it and address it, then you can actually begin to kind of start stepping into that. And not that you are responsible for removing every obstacle, obviously, but let's say, you know, man, my wife really struggles to be intimate and relax when the laundry is piled up and the dishes need to be done. And she's thinking about the fact that school lunches need to be made tomorrow. And this is blah, 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 and I got work and blah, 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 blah. And it's like her brain is going.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Well, I just have, I don't want to derail you, but I have this like story, not story, but something I do with you all the time. And it's not to have sex. This is just in general, where the other day I came in to the house or I mean, I was here. I can't remember if I just came over work or not, but I was talking to you and you just seemed like frantic, right? Frantic's a strong word. Yeah. Frantic's a strong word. I was like that. Yeah. But you were just like, you know, I got all these things to do. And I was like, what do you have to do? And you named off two things. And that was it. So it was like, I have all these things. And I was like, what is it? What do you have to do? And you named off two things. And I was like, you just have a couple things. But see, it's no big deal.
This is, okay, never say that. Let me just do a caveat right here.
Big deal.
Do not ask your wife. What? The million things she has in her brain, this ain't not a big deal, babe. Like, that's, speaking of communication.
But I was trying to bring you back down because I was like, I didn't say no big deal, but I felt like, not that you were overreacting, because that's what it sounds like right now.
Here he keeps going, guys. This could impact our intimacy.
Not that you were overreacting, but I felt like, sometimes, I don't feel like there's a lot going on in the house right now. Can I get some clarification?
Okay. You are not helping yourself. No, so many times there are so many things that are running through our minds that we literally, the effort to even kind of get them all out is almost overwhelming versus just kind of like trying to navigate it through in our own brain. That's not always healthy, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think what helps when you do that, like you will do things that really help me to even, like a lot of times you'll rub my hair before we go to sleep, and not for any kind of it.
I was just going to say that.
I know, I'm giving the caveat. Okay. You do this regardless that it's not for an end result. Mm-mm. But you also do know, like, because you love me, you know that really does help me to like,
relax.
Yeah. And you know, when we find things like that help our spouse relax, and it may be that, you know, you have a spouse that is an acts of service love language. Mm. You may have to get up and just help get involved in some of the things that are really weighing down your spouse when it comes to, you know, it is a good approach when you see that your spouse is frazzled about something to go up and say, hey, can I help with something?
Yeah.
You know, and then that way at least it shows that you want to be in it with them. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be an active person in the middle of this so that I can help relieve some of what's on your brain. I would not recommend saying, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, babe. So.
No.
Which he didn't, by the way. Does. He helps do that stuff when he sees that there are things that are really weighing on me. And a lot of times there's emotional aspects of that weigh on a woman's mind more typically. And those nuances are all there involved with the physical things that need to be done too. And that's the same for you. You know, a lot of times it's, I think, more intense than men like to acknowledge, but those stressors from all the things in your life.
It is. And so I kind of wanted to say that, 'cause I don't think that men in general accept that or will admit that, where I've come to terms where I'm like, yeah, no, this is weighing on my mind. Would I love to have like some awesome sex right now with my wife? Yeah. But right now I can't. Like these things are going through my mind too much. Now there are times where you're able to like defeat that and we can do things, which is amazing, 'cause that's a gift that you have. But what? It's true. It's a gift. But there are times where I'm like, I just have too much going on my mind. And I think those have been, you know, I don't know if it's like, I'm trying to like look at this other thing that I've been, I want to give credit to, but I don't think it's on here. But I looked at it somewhere where, you know, then it's almost like what I said earlier. Then it's like, is this performance anxiety? Like, oh no, I'm like, I can't perform right now. And why is that? Well, it's because I'm horrible and like I should be able to be doing this, right? Like going back to like the on and off switch.
I shouldn't be stressed about this and I shouldn't be thinking.
Well, going back to like the on and off switch, I'm like, my wife is wanting to do these things and I'm clearly not able to right now and I don't understand what's going on. And then I go down that hole, you know, rabbit hole, and it's just like, are you kidding me? You know, and it's just this compounding thing,
right?
Where it is just stressors, just life's stressors.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't shut those off. Mm-hmm. You know, I can give those up. I fully believe, you know, like I pray all the time and all those things. Yes, I don't hold on to stressors, but there's things that I do run through my mind. Like tomorrow, I have something I have to do tomorrow that is weighing on my mind. Mm-hmm. It's the right thing to do. I don't have any remorse for doing this that I have to do at all.
Right.
But it is, it's going to cause like some heartache to people. Like, this is just work related. It's not, you know, no big deal kind of deal. But I do have empathy, right? And sympathy and all those things. So I know like, well, this has to be done and I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. But at the same time, it's going to suck. And so that's been running through my mind all weekend.
Yeah.
And it's not, and I've prayed about it. So it's not something that I'm like losing sleep over. But also if there's something like that that's running through your mind with your career, with, you know, a friendship, with, you know, your relationships with your family or whatever it is, right? Name it, with your kids, then that does just weigh on you.
Yeah.
And there are times where you can't turn it off. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just I can't turn it off right now.
Yeah. And our bodies respond to that, to what's going on in our brain. And I think, you know, as far as mind and memories and, you know, specifically in, you know, we deal with a lot of marriage that has gone through some level of trauma. This is a really big obstacle. Sex is a really big obstacle because in a lot of marriages, whether you've gone through crisis or not, this is an area that has experienced a good chunk of brokenness, because the reality is most people don't enter into a marriage with a perfect history in this area, you know, where it's like it's messy. You know, there's so many things that can impact this area of your life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's not dealt with until you're married. It's like all of that stuff, all the, you know, the pieces that you gave away, the pieces that were taken away, trauma, all of those things. A lot of it doesn't surface until you are in your marriage. And then all of a sudden you realize the impact that they have. And so your mind has a really, really huge hindrance in this area, really, because you can just fight memories. And I know even in our situation, it was like I was fighting memories I thought you might be fighting. It's like it was like a constant thing. Like I was even taking on ownership of things that and even over yourself, there's the comparison side of things that you're navigating. And that is a battle that's in your mind constantly, too. And I think this is, you know, we talk a lot about that moving forward mindset. But this was an area in our life that I really did recognize that I did not want the enemy to have any more ground here. And we've talked about this in other areas, but I think in our sex life, this was a really big deal for me, was when I was like, no, I'm taking back this ground because, you know, it was such a wounded area and I could have just stayed in that wound. And I think in a way we could have stayed very much in a place of just perfunctory. Is that the right word?
I have no clue. I don't read as much as you do. That's it. You throw these words out sometimes. I don't know. This has just happened in the past couple of weeks. You've been throwing words out. And I don't know. And I'm just like, okay. Even one of us, like, I don't think that's a real word. You're like, yes, it is. Okay.
And did we look it up?
Yep. And you were right. I'm not saying you were wrong. I'm just saying. I've heard what you're saying before. Yeah. I've just said,
anyways, I don't know. It's like, it could have been very much like, we're going to do this because it's necessary, but definitely not intimate, definitely not something that brought us closer connection. It would be more of just like, this is a necessity.
And a duty. And
yeah,
I will say, like, there was a season with our rebuilding where I think it was like that.
Absolutely.
But honestly, that hurt too.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, well, I guess, like, you know, It was a weird time to be in our relationship. It was a weird time in our relationship for sure. It was a whole broken area and it was like this duty. And I read that. I thought I read that somewhere. Maybe it was just in my head when we were preparing for this, but I don't ever want our sex to be a duty, like ever. And anytime I felt like that, I know what you're thinking, because it's my duty. You want to finish?
You might as well now.
I tell Lisa every now and then. I don't know where I got this.
It's got to be a saying. It's for sure a saying.
I say it's my duty to please that booty.
Yeah.
And Mom, you should have turned this off a long time ago. So, anyway. But I don't want an obligation.
Right.
And so that was a rough time. I know it was a rough time for you too, but I'm just being honest, right? It was a rough time for me too, because it was like, oh, this is an obligation. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, okay, this is what we do. Where to this day, I don't ever want that.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and that's something I think that comes with, it could be an obstacle depending on the libido, you know, or drive of each person, of each spouse in this marriage, that could be an obstacle too. But this is where you do have to be upfront. And it's like, not the whole, you know, oh, I have a headache, you know, that whole thing. Because that may be true, you know, I want to like throw the Lisa thing out there, right? That may be true. But a lot of times, you know, at least it's portrayed and then it's joked about, and because there's a lot of truth behind it.
Right. And it's an excuse.
Where it's more of an excuse, where just be upfront and don't give an excuse. Just say, you know what? Like, I can't tonight, or I can't right now but really say why, because I don't, or the opposite of that is not saying that you don't want to do it and you just go ahead. And then that spouse can feel the obligation.
Right. Yeah.
And you can. And I'd never want that.
Yeah. And I think there's like,
you were going to ask me a question.
Well, yeah, because what happens, I think, with something like that, let's say a woman is, or a man is, just in general having like, oh, man, my mind is just not, it's all over the place, and I'm exhausted, or any of these other things. Yeah. So I think what ends up happening is that the spouse ends up feeling rejection. Mm-hmm. And so this is where, you know, healthy communication is so necessary, because the reality is because sex is so vulnerable, when you feel rejected in some way, right? Which, so if you've, you know, done that whole, you know, you're in bed and you kind of try to slide over to the other side of the bed and you're like, hey, I'm just giving a really great example. But anyways, if you're doing that and you feel rejected, like let's say you're the man and you're like, okay, I really, you know, I'm coming up and I'm wanting to initiate something with my wife. And she's just clearly like, I don't want you to touch me. I'm tired. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Right. And so what ends up happening in so many marriages is this kind of spirit of rejection, like, just builds up. And you do see people using that rejection to find an excuse to go towards other avenues.
Absolutely.
And it's never an excuse. So please do not, but it can create a breach. And so we do have to be really careful, because the communication is so important for you to have, and to be honest, and for you to have empathy towards what your spouse is going through, have empathy towards what might have happened in their day.
Yeah.
But also don't allow rejection after rejection after rejection to take place.
Well, there should be, like, you could easily solve that, I would say, with, no, I don't feel like that right now, but you know what? Like, let's, you know, this, you know, tomorrow night, or this, you know, in a couple of days around this weekend, like, I don't know. I don't, you know, I'm not going to throw a time frame out there.
Yeah. Even could we cuddle for 5 minutes? I just want to be close to you. Like, those kind of things.
But also like that, you know, I did read it, and Focus on the Family has a good article on this.
I'll put it in the show.
And it does talk about plan ahead.
Yep.
In there. And again, we've talked about this before in previous episodes too, where, you know, you kind of mark it on the calendar. And I've always thought that that was very callous, but very cold, business-like, very business-like, where it's like, well, we got our business time coming up, you know, and that funny skit, right? That whole thing, I always thought it was very callous, but I understand it.
Yeah.
And I still feel it's a little bit more like this regiment. you know, very regimental, yeah. But I understand it.
Yeah, and because, it's good to get you into the rhythm.
Yeah, because if you both are very busy, careers, family, traveling, different libido, all these things, then being able to, you know, circle that on the calendar,
right.
That is something that you, you know, that you can both look forward to in excitement,
right.
You know, absolutely. As that week is going on. And so even if you do get like that, you know, quote unquote rejection, which yes, it is a form of rejection, but it's not coming from, I don't think you're, you know, attractive or I don't love, you know, yeah. Whatever, those things.
It's funny how we can hear those messages.
That's exactly what we hear. That's exactly what we hear is that whole piece of, oh, well, clearly.
Yeah, you don't want me. You don't think I'm attractive. You don't desire me. And one thing I want to say that, you know, we talked about the mind, and I want to, I'm going to be bluntly honest on this episode too.
Not just honest.
Bluntly. Yep, throw it out. I think the thing that really helped me reclaim space in this area was when I really began to initiate pursuit of you. Mm-hmm. And I think that was something in my own mind because that was not our natural rhythm before. No. And this is not, like I said, to bring any guilt, shame, anything like that on anyone, but it really did help me to kind of take some ownership back of this mm-hmm. space where it's like, no, I am going to be the one that goes after this. I am going to be the one that takes a step towards you. And in doing so, I think it actually helped heal both of our hearts.
No, it did. And I'll tell you, like, where it really hit me like very deep. First of all, I think it's the hottest thing ever. Like I do. Like, I think it's like, I don't know what guy out there, maybe there's some crazy guys out there wouldn't think so. I think it's like the hottest thing ever when you're like pursuing me and want me like that. Right. And I know you want me like that, but you know what I mean? Like but on a deeper level, I still, and I talk about this all the time, I still deal with insecurities. And so having that pursuit from you is amazing to me because I think it attacks those insecurities. And I don't think you're purposefully thinking that.
No.
But these are things that I deal with, right? And what we deal with, I don't deal with them alone.
Yeah.
Not saying that. But these are things that I battle, right? And having those insecurities and then you're battling that with me on a level you don't even realize mm-hmm. when you do those things. Like it's amazing. I love it. And so I do. I think, like you always say, like when you see me in church or doing these things, like, oh, it's the hottest thing ever. Like, I think the hottest thing you do is that. Like, for sure. I really do. Like, I think it's like amazing because it hits me on all those levels, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, well, definitely I would say my top love language is physical touch, not just sexual, but like physical touch. I think is probably, I haven't done it in a while, but I think it's probably my top love language. And so that helps me, you know, when it's like, oh, you do, you know, you do crave me or whatever it is. Right. In a non-weird way, you know, cause it's just awkward.
Everybody wants to be wanted. And I think that's really an important thing for us to recognize is like, of course your spouse wants to be wanted by you. Mm. And you know, there's this, it may not be your natural thing to be the initiator in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And yes, does it create a vulnerability and possibility of rejection and all of those kind of things that are there? But I think it's so important for you to reclaim ground in this area, but mm-hmm. also for you to let your spouse know, like, I do want you. I do want you. And sometimes that requires you stepping out of what is your, well, most of the time, it requires you to step outside of your comfort zone, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and we hear from different people all the time, women who have a stronger libido than men and vice versa. But either way, if you place yourself in their shoes and say, man, like, how would I feel if I was the one who was kind of taking the risk, if you will, to try to say like, hey, I want you. Like, I want to be close to you. I want to be near you. I want to, you know, be intimate with you. And you felt that rejection from them, you know, or even worse, like, and we experience this, right? Like that breach that's so big that you recognize like, oh, we may never get that opportunity again. Mm-hmm. Like that's huge, you know? And so this is an area where if you have a chance to reach, like reach,
yeah,
you know, this is meant to be an area that that God can heal and redeem and bring about something new. And I love that God is big enough to get into this area and take the mess that we as humans make of this, because we do. Yeah. It's just, we just make a mess.
Absolutely.
And he can redeem it. And you can pray about your sex life, and I would encourage you to do so, because I think that's huge, that, you know, even if you and your spouse grasp hands and pray before you have sex, like, don't be afraid of even just inviting God into those intimate spaces, because it's meant to be this really beautiful reflection of just two people becoming one flesh, you know? It's like, it's really cool. And you don't want to let all of the obstacles that we put in the way of that override what could be. And I think that I just want to encourage
something. Yeah, like, and don't think of it as you know, people, I could kind of feel maybe what people are hearing, right? You know, like praying about your sex life. Even I said it, I don't like saying that. But praying about that, you know, and inviting God in there. First of all, he's already there, right? He's everywhere. You know, don't think of this as something that's even like dirty, right? And I think we just, you know, you and I, and it's documented now in several articles I've read and different things like that, where we grew up in this like purity
culture
time frame, right? Where it was, it's not bad in general.
The intent was good,
but it was so much so that it painted sex, even within marriage, as something that was dirty. Right. You know, and it's not.
Or
and
people just all had this idea that, well, two things, either I waited and then I got married and then it's all supposed to be perfect and amazing. And, you know,
yeah.
So they had that delusion, or it was like, I screwed up and now I'm ruined for life.
Yeah. You know? But like when they looked at it like as being that dirty side of it, then you feel like, should I pray for this? You know, God made everything. If you have any question about that, one, go to Genesis.
Yeah.
You know, he literally says like to produce, right? And I know that means having babies. You know, I get that. But there's only one way to do that. And then two, go to Song of Solomon's and just read that over. Mm-hmm. Like that's literally, he's talking about the beauty of his wife and all these things they want to do to each other. You know, all this stuff. And that's biblical. Yeah. You know, that's something that God's given us to enjoy. And I think it needs to be taken back in that sense, where now this can go too extreme, where people can get like really flagrant about it and overly open, I think, about things. And it's like, whoa, you need to chill out. But at the same time, there needs to be this healthy side of it, of understanding what sex is within marriage, understanding how to communicate your wants and your needs and what you want to do with your spouse, do for your spouse, and what feels good to you, and all those things. Like that needs to be talked about. And when it's not, but you can turn the TV on or you can hit a reel and no one's married and they're talking about everything they want to talk about, and just, this is how you do this and this is how you do that, and if you don't like this, go over here, and all these things. And it's like, in the world, it's so open.
Yeah.
It's so flagrant.
And it's so self-serving.
And it's so self-serving, where it is flipped. Like, you know, it's like that when Jesus was walking the earth, he was flipping everything on its head, right? It is the same way in your marriage. It shouldn't, you just need to communicate more openly about it, so it's not something that can, that the enemy can get at. Because it's so like, that is such a big piece of this, where, right. I mean, telling you, like, you get Christian, and it says this in this article, I'd have to look it up exactly where it is, but when it talks about pornography, like, it is huge in the church, right? In Christian circles, pornography is still a thing. Like, it's still this stronghold that just, that hurts so much, and it's secretive. And where does it go after immediately? Like, it doesn't matter how it starts. It could start with, yes, I'm being rejected constantly. I have a higher drive than my spouse, and not just men. This is men and women.
Yep.
I have a higher drive than my spouse. My, you know, my spouse is too busy for me, all these things. I need this, right? I need this release. I need this, like I'm craving this. It's okay. I'm just going to do this. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you still don't get that with your spouse. Right. And then it becomes, this is where I get my thing, which is now a selfish thing. You're now looking at images you shouldn't be looking at, watching videos you shouldn't be looking at. Mm-hmm. Lusting after others.
Yeah.
You know, like it comes down to this. I mean, there's just a gambit of sins mm-hmm. within that, right? Just this, it just runs amok. But then that's also that big compromise, even though you think like, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm never going to step over that proverbial line. But then that's what happens, right? Because then you're not getting it at home. Sounds horrible. You're not getting it at home. So then you start digitally getting it mm-hmm. because you feel like, well,
justified.
I feel justified, right? And I have mm-hmm. to do this. This is what, like, I guess.
And then you normalize it.
Then you normalize it. So then it's okay. Mm-hmm. Then you continue not to get it like Jesus intended it for you, like God made it.
Right.
Right. And then someone outside your marriage shows interest in you. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to snowball from there.
Yeah.
So the most important thing in your marriage isn't sex. I don't believe that.
Right.
But it is a very important thing in your marriage, and it protects it.
Yeah, that's a really great
it way protects to put it. In so many levels, it protects it. Mm-hmm. You know, you make each other feel phenomenal physically, but also on a spiritual level, a mental level. Mm-hmm. You see love. Like, not just, I'm not talking about like physical love, but you see love.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love it. I love, can our sex life be better than it is now? Absolutely. Like, we are still growing, but I love seeing the love mm-hmm. that I get. Like, the compassion, the sensitivity, the just the love. Like, I love that. And it's just it's something no one else gets to see. It's something I don't share with anybody else, and it's amazing. And that, saying all that, it protects your marriage at so many levels. Mm-hmm. Spiritually, it protects it. Physically, obviously, protects it. It makes you guys feel stronger together, closer together. It builds and strengthens other aspects of your marriage.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an intertwining piece of a healthy marriage that's why it's the first thing to go
yeah.
when there's an issue.
And it's also why you see when there is that, when it's not there, how it hurts the other spouse.
Yeah.
Like, it really does, you know, where you start to question, you know, well, are you attracted to me? Mm-hmm. Do you really, you know, like, what's going on? I mean, there's all these like questions that you see a spouse kind of walk through when they're wondering, like, why is this happening, you know? And there are so many factors for why it could be happening. And I think our encouragement is that if that's the case, like, don't be satisfied with just sitting there wondering, like, well, I don't know what's going on. Or if you're the spouse that's really struggling mm-hmm. in this area, you know, there is help out there for both psychological needs, both physical needs, the, you know, trauma that you may have gone through, addictions that you may face. Like, there is a lot of help out there in this area, and it's worth pursuing to get that help and to, you know, find trusted advisors and people who are experts in these areas that can really help.
And I would say, like, and I don't want to tell people they're limited by this, but I would encourage you to find the faith-based
Yes.
side of this in all those aspects, whether it's a counselor, you know, a psychologist, like all these things, all these other aspects to find the faith-based side of it, because their view on sex is going to be so much different than your, generally speaking, right? So much different than your secular counselor, you know, all these things. Generally speaking, I know that there are people that don't follow Christ that aren't, you know, wouldn't consider themselves a Christian, that still morally believe, like, no, sex within marriage is proper. Like, this is the things like this. There is that out there for sure. But I would encourage you to find that faith-based side. And then even, like, you know, as we were preparing for this, we were looking on our phones too, because we had downloaded an app forever ago. Yeah. And it's from another couple that has a marriage. Do they have a marriage ministry? Yeah, you could say marriage ministry, right? Yeah. And it's called
The Ultimate Intimacy App.
Yes, The Ultimate Intimacy App. And it's a great resource. We don't get anything for this. It's a great resource. But that also, like, I was looking at that app while we were getting ready for this, and I'm like, this helps with communication.
Yeah, because it gives questions.
It's so, like, it's informative. It helps with communication. It even dives into, like, well, I want to learn more about this. Yep. You know, it has, yeah, it has, like...
it's all clean.
It's all, yeah, it's a faith-based app for sure. But it has all these things where it's like, this can help me with communication, even to the point of like, I can share something via like text.
Yeah.
Right. And kind of open up that dialogue. And
that might be where
you have to start. And that's fine. I think that's where I'm going to start. Okay, like, baby. I'm going to start firing off some text to you. But I mean, it's just because like it's just such a hard place to navigate.
Yeah, it is.
And I want to make sure like everyone knows there's so many resources out there. I want to make sure that you guys know that I don't have it all together in this, same, you know, in this realm or in any realm, but in this realm. But for me, this is probably the hardest topic to discuss, not because I'm a fourth grader, even though sometimes I act like it, but this is a hard topic to discuss because this was the basis, not because we weren't doing what we were supposed to or what was right, but this is where our breach in trust happened. Mm-hmm. Like this is the thing that broke everything. Right. And which makes sense to me because this is where the enemy wants to break marriages. How do you break it? Like right here.
And if so, you break it right there, it seems the most irredeemable.
Absolutely. And so that's why I think that not only from the uncomfortable side of like, I'm not an expert in talking about sex, and I don't know all the ins and outs clearly, but it's that deeper level of like, no, this is why, this is what I did, right? I walked away and did all these things and now I'm still healing from them to this day, you know? And so I think that's why this is so important to us. And maybe that's why we skirt the topic, inadvertently. Yeah. It's not like we purposefully go like, nope, we're not talking about this. We just skirted, I think, subconscious
level. God has redeemed this area so much. Absolutely. In our lives. Yes. And I just to encourage somebody, and I think, you know, I even think what's cool is to even think about this as an area that I keep seeing God heal. Mm-hmm. And even looking at it with that perspective of not this necessarily having to always see the scars, but just like, wow, this is such an area that God has the opportunity to just keep healing. And I think that's so beautiful that he does that, you know, where it's like, you think this is the best something can be. And God always has like another piece that's even better, you know, and the ability to just really get to know somebody and, you know, even the aging process and the scars and the imperfections and all those things, like you said, these things that we reveal about ourselves only to our spouse, that's meant to only be revealed to our spouse, and for it to be this thing that is safe with them, that's a really, really beautiful thing. Yeah. And I think it's really worth pursuing. And the other side of it too, just to encourage somebody, you know, go get your hormones checked.
Oh yeah, for
that
sure.
Has such a huge impact on how you feel. And if you, I mean, there's so many factors that can influence your libido. Like, go get your hormones checked.
Yeah, and I wasn't even going to get into this because we're kind of wrapping it up. I feel like we're wrapping it up, but like I went and got mine checked.
Yeah,
and now I take like whatever you call it,
testosterone.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of the medical term, but I take that, and I'm not afraid to like tell people like, no, I take it.
Yeah.
You know, and so like, dudes, like if you got to do that, just do it. I didn't do it because I'm like, whoa, where's my sex life? It was like a ton of factors that made me want to go finally like jump the hurdle and get my blood work done. Right. And so it was like a lot of factors, but it was something I was like, no, I've tried to do this naturally and it's not working for me. So I'm just going to go to the doctor and talk to him about it. And I feel great.
Yeah.
Like, I love it, you know, that, you know, trying to get myself healthy and on this right track. And so, because I've met, specifically, I was thinking of one person in my head that I met, and they were kind of embarrassed that they were having to get on it. And I'm like, I tell people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because it's not a failure. And you're as you get older, your hormones change.
Yeah.
And like with your job and everything else, that's even a greater contributing factor to the fact that those levels drop earlier. Yeah. But it's just a matter of, like, you know, face the stuff. Like, mm-hmm. don't hide from it. There, like we said, there's so much help out there. Yep. Let this be your encouragement to just go get your blood work done. Like, go figure it out. Like, don't be just satisfied with the, mm-hmm. you know, making it this obligation in your marriage. Like, that is not a fun way to operate in, mm-hmm. in a marriage. And I don't think that's how God intended it to be. So, challenge for this week.
Get after it. No, okay. I don't. I'm just playing.
To me, I'm like, whatever it looks like to reclaim some ground.
Yeah.
I would do it, mm-hmm. you know, and that if you can just kind of go with it with that in your mind, and it could be different for every single person mm-hmm. listening to this. But I feel like there's always something that comes to someone's mind instantly where it's like, oh, you know, you kind of like don't want to pay attention to it.
Nope, yep.
Like, I would just, that's probably where you need to pay the most attention. And, you know, just do that, you know, reclaim some ground in whatever way that it is mm-hmm. necessary in this area of your marriage.
Absolutely. And maybe like side challenge, like to wives, if you've never initiated, try it.
Yeah.
Because
Or vice versa.
Just saying, like, absolutely. It's usually wives that don't. Right.
I agree.
And so I'm like, just try it. See what happens. Like, your man will probably be like, whoa. Like, yeah.
Okay, then.
That's awesome.
There you have it. See you next week. Bye.